यातिर्वै गृहमेधिना सुदुःखोपार्जितैर्वित्तैर् आशासानं गृहाशिष मधुवेवाग्रतो भुङ्क्ते यातिर्वै गृहमेधिना आशासानं गृहमाशिष एवाग्रतो भुङ्क्ते माताजी सुदुःखोपार्जितैर्वित्तैः आशासानं गृहाशिषः यतिर्वै गृहमेधिना
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन सुदुःख विथ ग्रेट स्ट्रगल उपार्जिते दैट विच इज अक्वायर्ड वित्ते मटीरियल ऑपुलेंस आशासानम ऑफ दोस फर्वेंटली डिजायरिंग गृह रिलेटेड टू डोमेस्टिक एंजॉयमेंट आशीष ब्लेसिंग्स Madhuha, the person who steals honey from the bees. Eva, like Agrataha, first before others. Bhungte, enjoys. Yati, a saintly mendicant. Vai, certainly. Grihamedhinam. Of those dedicated to material family life. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Just as a hunter takes away the honey laboriously produced by the honeybees, similarly, saintly mendicants such as brahmacharis and sannyasis are entitled to enjoy the property painstakingly accumulated by householders dedicated to family enjoyment. Purport. The scriptures state saintly mendicants in the sannyas order of life and brahmacharis have first right to enjoy the sumptuous foodstuffs produced by the householders. If the householders enjoy such foodstuffs without first offering them in charity to the mendicants, such neglectful householders must undergo the lunar fast called Chandrayanam. In family life, one must overcome the natural tendency towards selfishness by giving abundant charity. Modern society foolishly does not observe such Vedic injunctions, and as a result, the world has become overrun by envious grihamedhis or persons wholly and solely dedicated to personal gratification in family life. Therefore, the whole world is seized in an uncontrollable spasm of violence and suffering. If one wants to live peacefully, one must follow the Vedic injunctions regulating the family life. although the householders work very hard to accumulate money, the saintly sannyasis and brahmacharis have the right to first enjoy the fruits of such labor. The conclusion is that one should give first priority to spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness and thus perfect one's life. Then, even without personal endeavor, one will be supplied all of one's necessities by the mercy of the personality of Godhead.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gutau Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Saitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all devotees assembled over here so that I may speak something to inspire myself as well as all devotees present. So today's verse is very interesting, and at the same time it's difficult for a person like me who's supposed in the Brahmachari ashram to speak one. But we can see that, like in the previous verses of the various instructions given by this Avadhut Brahman, the instructions he had given to the renounced people from the renounced order of life, that they should not acquire more than what is necessary, eat only from his handful, and store only in his whatever he can in his belly. And now this instruction is basically for the grihasthas, that they are supposed to offer whatever they have accumulated by their painstaking work, effort, to the saintly persons, the sannyasis and the brahmacharis. And we can see here how very nicely Krishna is, through the Vedic injunctions, he is creating a process of dependency, mutual cooperation among people of various varnas and various ashramas, and how they can help each other to progress in the spiritual path. In the purport, the main theme which comes across is that in family life, one must overcome the natural tendency towards selfishness by giving abundant charity. So we can see that mostly grihasthas, and more so for the grihamedis, the materialistic people, they are always behind this anartha, which is greed. You know, that is one of the main principal anarthas which comes across challenge for the grihasthas to overcome. And the way by which one can overcome this is by giving abundant charity. That's what Prabhupada says. And even in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna explains that how the three basic principles of yajna, dana and tapa are very important, not only for common people, like even for elevated people. He says, yajna dana tapa karma natyajam karyameva tat yajna danam tapascheva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up, for they must be performed, and even they purify even great souls. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that there are different purificatory processes for human beings to advance in spiritual life. Like one of the yajna, which is very important in the life of a person, is the vivaha samskar, vivaha yajna. And it is considered very, very important, because one can enter into the from brahmachari ashram to the grihastha ashram, and during the course of this yajna also one performs charity. He has to give dana, and later on as a grihastha one is required, as this verse is explaining. Once a person comes, he progresses to the grihastha ashram, his one of the principal duties is to give dana or give charity, especially to saintly mendicants. One very important thing, rather than just the sannyasis and brahmacharis, what is very important is saintly mendicants. Because in this Kali Yuga we may see that many people may be wearing these saffron clothes, but they may not be following the principles to the true sense. So in family life we see that the predominant anartha is greed. Whereas for the brahmacharis and sannyasis, the biggest challenge to overcome is lust. And for them to overcome this, they have to perform austerity or tapasya. And by that, they can actually control their senses. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining how by performing yajna, we can try to overcome adhidaivik problems in our life. Means by offering oblations to the demigods. And by dana, by giving charity to others, those who are in need, we actually can help overcome the adi bhautik problems, adi bhautik klesha, means problems caused by other living entities, by taking care of them, by giving them dana. And by tapas, by tapasya, one actually overcomes adhyatmik problems, adhyatmik klesha, or problems caused by one's own self or body. But all these three have to be performed by all people and for our own purification. So the purpose of all varnas and ashramas is actually to make spiritual progress. Like Krishna says, Chaturvarnya Maya Srishta Gunakarma Vibhagasha Svanastu Tasya Dharmasya Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. It is actually, if we cooperate with each other, the various people from various ashramas, if they cooperate, they can actually help each other. It is a win-win proposal. We can help each other advance. And in case if we do not, then actually we can, we are surely destined to fall down, and or rather not succeed in achieving the goal of human life. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we see so many examples where there is very nice relationship between the people of different ashram, the grihasthas, the brahmacharis, the sannyasis. Sometime back, we had been to Ahmedabad on our way to Dwarka for the staff yatra, And in Ahmedabad, myself and one other friend of mine, Vasudev Prabhu, we had stayed in one devotee's house. And he had taken us to a place not very far from Ahmedabad, around 100 kilometers, called Siddhapur. We were wondering, wow, which is this place? And when we reached over there, it was very close to the highway. The place which is called Bindusaras, the place where actually Kardama Muni had performed austerities. And pleased by his austerities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had come and given darshan. In fact, looking, he was so overwhelmed by his austerities that he even shed tears. And there was this lake formed, small, which is called Bindusaras. And on Kardamuni's desire, he blessed him that soon he will get an appropriate wife for himself. And Kardamuni was waiting over there, and soon, very soon, Swayambhu Manu arrived with his wife, Satrupa. And we can see the exchange between the Swayambhu Manu and Kardamuni, how they actually glorified each other and inspired each other to perform their services. Kardamuni glorified Swayambhu Manu, saying that you are taking the responsibility of protecting the Varnashram Dharma, which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you do not take, the Kshatriyas do not take the responsibilities, then actually irreligion will spread if you sleep without worry. And in spite of having so much of great responsibility of carrying on the universal administration, still you have come all the way over here. Swayambhu Manu, being little embarrassed by the words of Kardama Muni, he actually starts to reciprocate. He tells Kardama Muni that Brahma has created you Brahmanas just for the purpose of spreading the Vedic culture and Vedic knowledge amongst the people in general. And only for the protection of Brahmanas have Kshatriyas like us been created. So, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are there to protect the mission of the Lord. And just by meeting you, all the doubts of my duties as a Kshatriya have been clarified. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually explains, it's very beautiful, I can just read it out from there, because it's really very classic. Manu described herewith the result of seeing a great saintly person. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. Somehow or other, if one meets a saintly person and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of one's human life is fulfilled. Then Srila Prabhupada goes on to give his own personal experience. He says, in our personal experience, we have actual proof of this statement. Once we had the opportunity to meet Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and on his first sight, he requested this humble self to preach his message in Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other, he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing this order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved us and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life's mission can become complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man, because one word of a saintly person can liberate us from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. Here Manu admits that all his doubts are now overcome because of Kardama Muni, who has kindly described the different duties of the individual. So, in this purport, it's clearly evident that the purpose of inviting saintly persons to our home, to the householder's home, or rather the purpose of sannyasis and brahmacharis who are preaching the message of God to visit the householders, is only for the purpose of spreading the message of the Lord and for spiritual emancipation. So, and then later on he says that only by your great fortune I have got this auspicious association. And later on, of course, Kardama, Swayambhu Manu gives charity to Kardama. He gives his daughter in marriage to Kardama Muni, and he does the Kanyadan. And Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they get married, and by this the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so much pleased that he voluntarily agrees that I will come as your son. So we can understand that the purpose of saintly mendicants visiting the homes of grihasthas, it may not always be just to take their daughters in marriage, but more importantly, it is for the purpose of spiritual progress. So, even in the fourth canto, there is a very nice example of the conversation between Prithu Maharaj and the fourth Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj had just had the audience of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord was so happy with his agreeing to limit himself to the 99th sacrifice, that he benedicted that very soon you will have the association of devotees. And then Prithu Maharaj, along with his citizens, they were all waiting, and very soon the four Kumaras arrived. So we see that normally to get association of saintly persons is very, very rare. And as soon as Prithu Maharaj sees the four Kumaras, he becomes very overwhelmed, and he starts to glorify them. That how fortunate we are to have your rare darshan. And nothing is so much more difficult to achieve than to achieve the association of saintly people. So, and if some householder, even if he is poor, if he is able to offer good respect and a good reception to saintly people like you, then he is considered most fortunate. However, grihasthas who may be rich and have a lot of opulence, but if they are not able to receive saintly persons like you in a proper, in a adequate manner, then they are actually considered unfortunate. So like this, he glorifies the four Kumaras, and he goes on to tell that there is no need for me actually to ask if you are about your welfare, because you are already spiritual people. So the best thing is, whenever we associate with or we get a chance to associate with saintly persons, the best thing is we can inquire about how we can get welfare for ourselves. And so he starts asking questions about his own spiritual upliftment. And he, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how that saintly people, they go from door to door. And earlier also it was explained that just like a honeybee, it moves from one place to another, one flower to another, to collect nectar from each flower. Similarly, a saintly person is required to go from house to house and beg alms and collect charity. But the main purpose of the saintly people visiting various householders is actually not to collect for themselves, but rather to spread the message of Lord. So he says it is a fact that saintly persons go to materialists just to give them auspiciousness. Maharaj Prithu was assured of the fact, therefore instead of wasting time, he asked him how people like him who are engaged, of course Prithu Maharaj was an expansion of the Lord himself, so there was no doubt, but this question he is asking for the benefit of the common householders, that how whenever they should actually be inspired and they should look up to getting association of saintly people like the sannyasis and the brahmacharis. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he says, samsara vishanale divinisha hiya jale judaite na koi no upay. Every person in this material world, he is actually suffering the material pangs. And the most important inquiry for him is how to get out of this material fire. So, and Srila Prabhupada explains in that same purport that the only process by which one can actually overcome this fire of material life is when we associate with saintly people and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is the only auspicious way for a materialistic person. So, and later on, Prithu Maharaj glorifies the Kumaras and says it is only by because of you that the other three Varnas, actually he explains that all whatever things are here, they actually belong to the Brahmanas only. And the other three Ashramas, Varnas, are actually partaking the remnants of the Brahmanas. That's what he explains in the various. And to try to repay your debt, whatever we have received, the spiritual knowledge, is actually very difficult, or rather it becomes like a laughing stock, he says. So, here we see that both the grahasthas, who are the householders, they also give charity. They give charity of their whatever material possessions they have. And the sadhus or the saintly mendicants, they are also giving charity. They are giving the greatest charity, that is the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the various types of charities is described in the 17th chapter, the charity in different modes. So here we can see that the charity, when it is the best considered in the Vedic scriptures, is charity in the mode of goodness. And Lord Krishna says, Dātavyamiti yaddānam diyate nakupakārine deshakāle cha pātre cha taddānam sātvikam smṛtam. Charity given out of duty without expectation of return. Dātavyam iti yaddānam diyate anupakārine, without any expectation of return, and at the proper time and place, and most importantly to the worthy person. When we give charity in scriptures, it's not that indiscriminate charity is recommended. Whenever we have to give charity, we have to ensure that the person to whom we are giving charity is worthy. Sometimes we may give charity to poor and needy people out of compassion, but for spiritual advancement, one should give charity only to worthy people like saintly sannyasis, who are and all the people in renounced order, who can actually utilize this for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. And secondly, the charity in the mode of passion. Lord Krishna explains, yattu pratyupakararartham phalam uddesha va punah diyate cha parikshtam taddanam rajasam smritam. Any charity which is performed with some expectation of something in return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or sometimes, many a times, we give charity in a grudging mode, such charity actually is considered charity in the mode of passion. And many a times people may be inspired to ascend to heavenly planets or with and may perform charity with great trouble. And afterwards they may also think that or they may repent, arre maine aisa itna kharcha kyun kiya, hai na kisi ko daan dene ke liye. So such type of charity is considered only in the mode of passion. And many a times charity which is given on the request of some seniors, but in heart of heart that person is not so willing, such charity is also considered in the mode of passion. And it may actually not reap the benefits which it is supposed to. And lastly, Lord Krishna explains the charity in mode of ignorance. He says, Adeshe kale yaddanam apraptebhyasya chadiyate asatkritam avagyatam tattama samudahratam. Charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy people, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be charity in the mode of ignorance. So, to give charity, not only the physical activity of charity, giving charity is important, but also the mood or the attitude to, in which we are giving, that also plays a very important role in deciding whether it is in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. So, and when people give charity to unworthy people, then actually it results in increasing the fire of material existence. And in this very purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that just because people have stopped following these Vedic injunctions, in the present material world we see that there is so much increase in violence and disturbance. You know. Actually speaking, there is no limit to greed. Yesterday Avatar Leela Prabhu was also explaining how of all the various anarthas, it's very difficult to overcome greed. And it's only when we give hearing to enlightened souls, then slowly we can overcome this anartha. In recent times we have seen that in this Kali Yuga, the entire economy is designed in such a way that the rich people, they become more richer and the poor people become more poorer. So there is so much of disparity in distribution of wealth, which actually leads to so much of unrest in society and so much of and the very big challenge which we face is that greed is something, it is like a fire, and even though you may put as much as fuel if you try to extinguish it, it actually increases. There are so many examples in recent past. We have heard so many cases where people who are filthy rich, they have so much that even for the next few generations, they may not worry for taking care of their normal life. But still, they indulge in very nefarious activities, and so much so that ultimately now they are in such a position that they can't even show their face to the world. You know? So this is the extent to which greed can actually cause anguish in our lives. So by giving charity, actually it helps in two ways. When a grihastha or a materialist, he gives charity, there are two things. One is by partaking something which he has earned very after a lot of pain, actually it discourages him. Even in Vedic scriptures it is said that for a grihastha also, it is not recommended that he over endeavors to progress in dharma, artha and kama, to endeavor for increasing religiosity or to increasing material wealth or just to fulfill his satisfy his desires. So this is actually not recommended in the Vedic Shastra. But even if somebody does get material wealth or material prosperity, then he has to give charity. And when he actually gives charity to deserving people, then he actually makes spiritual progress. And so, in scriptures, there are various processes which have been given how one can purify various elements. When somebody, it's in the 10th canto, it is explained that kalena snana sauchabhyam samskaraistapasijaya shuddhyanti dana santushtya santushtya dravyani atma atma vidyaya. That by passing of time, kalena, and land and other material possessions can be purified. By bathing, by snana, one can purify one's body, and by cleaning, by cleanse, unclean things can be purified. But by purificatory ceremonies, by the various one's birth, by various samskaras, one actually, one's birth is purified. And by austerity, by doing tapasya, one can purify his senses. And as far as one's material possessions or wealth is concerned, by worship and charity offered to brahmanas, material possessions can be purified. And by satisfaction, the mind can be purified. And by self-realization, the soul can get purified. So, even in Vedic scriptures, even for early days, the people were aware that how, Prabhupada explains that, how even in Vedic lifestyle, people in villages knew how to purify various elements and to ensure that even in this material world, we can live a life without contamination. So, Prabhupada explains again in this one another point which Prabhupada makes, his disciples make, is that if one wants to live peacefully, one has to follow the Vedic injunctions of family life. So, as a householder, like even we see in Prabhupada's his own life, his father, Gaur Monde, he would always invite various sadhus and sannyasis to his home and feed them, serve them very nicely. And he would request them to bless his family as well as especially Srila Prabhupada, who was that time Abhay Charan, that you bless him that he becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna. So, we can see, and one of the other responsibility of a householder is not only that he has to take care, he has to give charity to the saintly mendicants, but even he has to take care of his family members and the people who are staying in his house, which will include the various insects and various pets. So, in Srila Prabhupada's life itself, Prabhupada used to tell that his father, whenever at the night, before closing the shop, he would leave something for the on a plate for the rats and the rodents and various other insects. So that they are also satisfied, and it is, as a householder, it is duty to take care of them. At the same time, they don't cause unnecessary disturbance. So, we see that as a grihastha, it is our responsibility. People have, in different ashrams, everybody has their own responsibility or duty as described in the Vedic scriptures. The brahmachari, he actually lives in the ashram and he serves the spiritual master or guru or acharya. The householders who are actually engaged in maintaining their family and household, they have the responsibility of taking care of all the other three ashramas, the brahmacharis, the vanaprastha and the sannyasis. The vanaprasthas, on the other hand, as now they have become graduated further from grihastha ashram, they have to understand that the difference between the body and the soul and start performing austerities and practice renunciation. And for the sannyasis, they should actually fully absorb themselves in self-realization. And in that way, they can actually become the well-wishers for all living entities. So that is the duty of a sadhu or a saintly mendicant. So we see in conclusion that one as given in this purport, that one has to give priority to spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Only then one can perfect his life. There are many examples, like in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, it is explained that it is the duty of the Brahmanas or the saintly mendicants not only to eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord. You know, many a times we say that Brahmanas, the Lord eats through the mouth of the Brahmanas. But the Brahmanas, it is their duty to also preach on behalf of the Supreme Lord. You know. So, and Bali Maharaj actually explains, when he gets the opportunity to offer some charity to Vamanadev, and his spiritual master Shukracharya, he actually forbids him, he obstructs. Then Bali Maharaj explains that it is easier for a Kshatriya to get an opportunity to fight for Dharma and to fight a religious war, but for a person to get an opportunity to give charity to a deserving person is even more rare. So, whenever somebody gets an opportunity like this, he should not leave that opportunity. This is what Bali Maharaj explains. And in response, Vamanadev actually explains, Bali Maharaj says that you are, it seems, just like a small boy, your mind, your intelligence is also very small. That's why you are asking for such a small piece of land. The Vamanadev actually explains what is the responsibility of a person who is accepting charity. Is that one who accepts charity, he should not accept or take more than what is necessary. We should only accept, take what is necessary for our existence and distribute whatever is excess to others. So then we can keep a Brahmana, he explains, a Brahmana or a sannyasi is qualified to ask charity. And as per Vedic injunction, if a qualified person asks for charity, he should never be denied. But if he takes more than what is necessary, then he is actually punishable. And no one can use more than Supreme Lord's property than what is necessary. Like, this is the same injunction which is given even in Ishopanishad, where one only takes as much as is meant for him, the quota. Like, even Srila Prabhupada used to explain that as a saintly person, after he had preached Krishna consciousness in the West, he had come to India with his disciples, the so-called white elephants. And they were going to different places. They had gone to Surat. And there, because the people were very sattvic and followers of Vedic principles, many of them, looking at Srila Prabhupada's divinity and his disciples' sincerity, they wanted to invite them for prasad, as is explained in this verse. And Srila Prabhupada, they said that, okay, now that we are starting this institution and we need a lot of funds also for the preaching process for building temples, he said, we will come to your house, but you have to become a life member and make a small donation. And then when Prabhupada and his disciples, they would go to the householder's home and partake prasad, and then they would also give this donation. So Prabhupada would say, see, just here we are coming, having food, and at the same time we are getting paid for that. So, but this is the actually glory of Vedic culture, that the grihasthas or the people who are putting in effort to earn money, but at the same time they are taking the responsibility of sharing this burden of the saintly people to preach the message of Krishna consciousness to those people who have not received it. In fact, once in the morning, in a walk in France, Srila Prabhupada was walking along with his disciples in a garden. It was very beautifully made and very nice. And as they were walking, then early in the morning, Prabhupada said, if you want to enjoy or experience the best of walking in a garden, it should be done in the mornings. But these materialistic people who earn so, who work so hard to earn money and to maintain all this, create this garden and maintain it, but in the early morning they are all fast asleep, you know, and they are not able to enjoy. And we, as mendicants, we as we are getting the opportunity to enjoy this or to experience this bliss in early in the morning, as just like is explained, it is being offered to the saintly mendicants knowingly or unknowingly by these materialists, you know, first to the saintly people. So here we see that the first priority that we have to give is for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and then we can actually make our life perfect. But what is most important is the attitude with which we experience, with which we accept. As grihasthas, the attitude should be that they want to satisfy or please the saintly mendicants so that they can seek their blessings and get their guidance for spiritual upliftment. And on the other hand, for the saintly persons and the brahmacharis or the sannyasis, their attitude should be that we don't deserve this, we don't demand this. Rather, whatever, by our practice of austerity, we are getting this by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and whatever we get, we should actually use it in the service of the Lord. And then we can actually purify whatever we get. And the most, Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, that the attitude of Trinadapi Sinichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Madanina Kirtaneya Sadahari. If that is the attitude of the saintly people, then surely they can, unless and until, he explains in the purport, unless and until one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. So if we have this mutual attitude of respect and care for each other, then we can actually help each other in achieving this goal of our human life, which is spiritual progress. So thank you very much. I would like to stop here. Very thankful for all your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki. Jai.